everybody. Welcome back to the Overrun Podcast. I'm Ed Bowder.
I'm Dan Schwester.
I'm Kevin Mazza.
I am Anna Ryan.
And today's episode, we're going to ask a question to the panel and to everybody listening. Does our culture in EMS hold us back as a profession?
Yeah, duh.
Ooh.
Yes.
Buckle up, folks.
Strap in.
So this is something that we've discussed as a panel a lot, and something that we want to focus on is not just the data in EMS, but specifically how we operate as a group. So we know that, and we've discussed in the previous episodes, where EMS has been around in America since 1966, fire's been around since Rome, blah, 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 blah. But EMS tends to be, specifically, we're the only profession in medicine that regularly kind of comes down on ourselves, and we sort of belittle what we do as a profession. So without trying to solve that problem, because I think we're not going to do that in this one particular thing, why do we think that we work so hard to knock ourselves down so much? Well, the silence is deafening.
I know. It's a loaded question. It's a loaded question. I think we do a terrible job of just lifting ourselves up. We spend a lot of time convincing ourselves that we deserve better without ever doing anything to actually go out and earn it. And then whether that's through coming together as with a unified voice, or just, you know, stop telling interns to eat the preceptor's, you know, shit. Because that's how it kind of goes down. Like, right. Oh, hey, student, like, what's up, meat? Like, the way it's college-level hazing, it's embarrassing, and it's not something that belongs in anything that we will call a profession.
So
were you ever called meat in your internship?
Yes.
Have you looked
at me?
He didn't have the beard then, so it was much more.
I get it.
So, but it's an honest question, right? It's something, and when we have that hazing level thing that we all went through to some extent, is that something that we propagate because, well, the generation before me did it, and now I do it, and then the generation after me will do it? Like, because I feel like that type of hazing, which exists, is something that is kind of, you know, we look at it as like a tried and true thing. So that's why we keep doing it.
Yeah, we're still learning our culture. We are a 50-year-old profession. You know, law enforcement is much longer. The fire service has been in much longer than us. Their culture has developed over generations. We still don't know what we're doing or where we're going as a profession. We have people who want to be the extension of the emergency department and be true clinicians out there in the field doing really advanced stuff. And we've got a significant percentage of our population that's like, look, man, I just drive the ambulance. It's all that matters. And that's not good. You know, it's not that doesn't help us, you know. You know, the mentality is, you know, there's a lot of problems with our mentality.
Sure. But again, is that something that is intrinsic to our society and our culture, or is that something that we kind of self-propagate?
I think it's because we've pumped the job up to be not what it is. Okay?
Okay.
You know, it's emergency medical services, okay? But we scream emergency.
Right.
And we whisper services. And somewhere in the middle, we mention, yeah, there's a medical part of this too.
Okay. And I think that's reasonable.
And we attract those people. And it starts out where we attract those people that, you know, they want to do the adrenaline junkie stuff. They want to push the envelope. They want to go lights and sirens. They want to do all that stuff. And they see, you know, on TV, you know, the calls that EMS gets on. I mean, the calls that get publicized because of privacy laws. We're a unique emergency service. We can't publicize what we do.
Right.
If the cops do something really cool and they lock up a bad guy, they can put it on the front page of the paper. Mm-hmm. The fire guys fight a 6-alarm fire on a city block. It's all over the news. We do something really cool, and we can't talk about it.
Well, I do think to an extent, I think that we kind of emphasize the wrong exciting jobs. Like the jobs that get kind of, you know, advertised for us is, you know, they're traumas, right? So we hear like, you know, oh, there was a 6-car motor vehicle accident. There was, you know, whatever else, and an aircraft. There were 7 airships that came in, and it was a whole big thing. And like, just for me, like, trauma is boring. I think that the medical stuff is a lot more exciting. So the people that are in, you know, the dynamic cardiac arrests or things like that, I think those are the ones that we have to kind of prop up a little bit more.
I totally agree with you. I think we spend a lot of time picking and choosing which war story we're going to tell to make ourselves sound better. And I think a massive and unfortunate part of our culture is there's a lot of self-aggrandizing that goes into it, because there is that paragod or paramagician mentality where you lights and sirens, it's exciting to you, get your adrenaline going, you go in, you get a ROSC, you bring them to the hospital, you high-five each other and go get a sundae. Like,
man, you love ice cream.
Because it's what I did.
We speak from experience. We had a tradition.
Yeah. Mike, if you're listening. But
that was a shout out.
Michael, can you hear me?
I think going back to what Dan said about, we have fire and police have generations. Like, we still have people who are first generation paramedics on the road.
Right.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a chance for our culture to grow. And the problem is what we're seeing now is, I don't know if it's growing pains. I don't know if it's just the worst of us have kind of come forward and this is the culture that's beginning to set in. But it's not too late to change. And it's definitely not too late to set the standard. And, I mean, I hope that we can do our part to change it here, because that's the reason why we're all here to do this. Yeah, this is why we're all here, right? We want to do better. So
do better.
Do better.
Hashtag. Do better.
Yeah, you'll see that in the future, folks.
Yeah, it's definitely our mantra here. But I don't think we had a chance to really build and substantiate a culture, but right now it's kind of like a college fraternity where there's a lot of hazing.
Right.
There's a lot of things come down to seniority when you ask anybody. Like, Anna, what was one of the first things you were asked when you stepped on a truck for the first time?
I don't remember.
What's your number?
What's my number? Yeah. Well, what zip code are you from?
But that's super specific to our area.
True in our area. Yeah. So, I mean, my scope of experience is limited to the Northeast.
I think we're also looking at
But you got a point there. Yeah. I mean, sorry, Anna.
No, it's okay.
But there is a point to that we tend to belittle the newer people of our profession. And we do tend to eat our young instead of nurturing them and bringing them along and teaching them the right way to do things. It's, you know, basically sit down, shut up. I'm the senior person. Mm-hmm. You do it the way I want to do it, or you don't do it. We're not doing things. And there's no thought process given to that. You know, some of the new people coming into EMS, you know, have a lot better training. They've been trained in a better environment. They've been trained with current science. Mm-hmm. And you put them with somebody that's been out there for a while and who hasn't progressed. And, you know, that's a problem.
Well, and even like stuff that we kind of take for granted. Like, I know Anna, Kevin, and I, when we went through medic school, like, we were taught 12 leads.
Yep.
Which is just kind of a, like, for us, that was just, oh, this is just what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. But people that went through medic school 25 years ago had to learn 12 leads kind of on the fly.
Or in my case, I was the new medic coming out into the field when we were doing 12 leads, right. And I was told by senior people, that's your problem, it's not mine. You do the 12 lead because I don't want to be bothered with it.
Which, like, now is, like, imagine a medic saying that to you now. Like, that's a crazy kind of abstract thought to me.
No,
that's
I never see that medic again. Like, the clinical coordinator would just come down and be like, listen, this is totally your problem.
Yeah, do your job. Hashtag do better.
Yeah.
But
driving this one home, guys.
But a lot of that speaks to burnout, right? We have people who have been, you know, doing the job for 25 or 30 years. There is, and, you know, probably even longer at this point. We probably have somebody who's been on here 40, 50 years.
First generation medics out there still.
Yeah. One of my old bosses actually was one of the first paramedics in the state. It was an interesting conversation. You're just like, oh, you've been around since, okay, how was that school?
But it's not just like the service that does it. We work in a profession where it's hard to make a living.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We have people who are working two and three jobs in some cases to make ends meet. And if you're on a truck or you're working 6 days a week, every week, days, nights, picking up overtime, I don't care who you are. That's going to grind on you.
Oh, no. It absolutely will.
And so it's not just, you know, I don't want to slam the senior people, because the pioneers of the profession deserve a respect for helping us to get to where we are.
However,
you know, this burnout thing is a problem, you know, and this, you know, this mentality of, you know, well, We don't do anything. We're just ambulance drivers. This is all BS. All the calls are BS. You know, it's just, that's really hurting the profession.
Well, but again, I think that, and the burnout thing is something that we're terrible at recognizing, right? And it's something that I think we have to cover for a lot of people who...
No, we don't recognize it until it's flaming in front of us.
Right, right, exactly.
It's the Hindenburg. And like, maybe he's a little toasty.
I don't even think it's a matter,
I don't think it's a matter of recognition. I think we just accept it. This is just the way it's going to be.
This is like an inevitable reality.
This person is burned out.
Ooh, that's
of course
good.
They are.
Yeah, no, no. I think you're right. I think we just accept it. We just we roll our eyes and go, that's just so and so.
They're just
salty.
Move
on. They're just salty or whatever.
They're
we
on their
ignore.
Fourth day on. Like, that's a problem. Why are they on their fourth day?
Well, and again, I think that there's an argument, and I'm not saying that this is my argument, that, you know, it gets into like a live within your means thing, and that's typically where that comes up. But the other thing is, like, maybe projects should be financing their employees more. I mean, I know, like, in our area, and we talked about this on one of the first episodes we ever did, you know, the average salary for an EMT in the United States is about $16 an hour.
Yeah.
Where how you living with $16 an hour?
I mean, like,
not that great. Yeah, you know, it's almost impossible.
And that's $16 an hour before they take out for health benefits.
Sure.
Taxes,
401k, if you even have the opportunity, life insurance, if you have the opportunity. This is a significant problem, and it's contributing to our burnout.
Sure.
We're working people too hard. We're sending them on too much stuff. And in return, you know, they're really putting themselves in a bad spot. And part of it, too, is we're not picking the right people.
Sure. So dovetailing off of that, how, as a profession, how do we start searching for, like, what are we looking for the right people? Right? Because we talked about, you know, police recruitment is pretty aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Right? They, you know, aside from the, you know, the camps they have to go
through.
It's
aggressive.
The training.
It's aggressive and it's stringent. And there's standards and there's profiles that they have. And, you know, to get hired as a police officer in the United States for the vast majority of departments, it's a very arduous process.
Yeah. Right. You have to go through a pretty significant psych background. Like, I've had people use me as a reference, and I get phone calls who are like, well, how long did you know them in 2004? And you're like,
Maybe?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, but for fire, especially if it's like a municipal fire company, it's kind of the same thing.
Sure.
And for EMS, by and large, because of the way that EMS is run in a lot of places, it's do you have a card? It's that like meet in the seat mentality.
Do you have a pulse? Right.
Yeah.
Have a pulse. Well, like, even then you don't really have
can
to
you
have
show
pulse
up
so
to work?
Yeah, a pulse and a patch.
Right.
You know, and that's I you know, we're talking about this but I think it's very difficult to try to solve that problem. Not that we're going to solve it just on this episode, but I think it's difficult. Like, so what would be the first step in your mind to try to fix this kind of issue?
Well, I'm on board with Dan. You got to attract the right people, and you got to make it an attractive job, right? We talk about living paycheck to paycheck and scraping by with multiple jobs. Like, how many cops you know that have a side hustle? How many firefighters?
Well, a lot of them do.
But to make ends meet,
there's also a lot of police organizations that people were using side hustles until very recently,
right?
And that's a contract dispute issue that we don't really have. Now, and again, it's harder with like a private agency, right? Because if you're just privately owned, you go to the boss, be like, I want more money. And they go, no. You're like, well, all right. I guess I'll be back tomorrow morning.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll just go along with my day. But if you're like in a municipal project, or if you're in like theoretically a hospital-based project, there's some more avenues you have to do that. But again, that the thing with the police officers is fairly new. Most fire departments are, you know, township or municipal-based. Mm-hmm. So that's all based on their tax structure, where, you know,
and so is police. They're taxpayer
police too.
Funded.
But again, that's the thing too. With as a society, if you go, generally speaking, you know, if you go to towns and you say, listen, we're going to raise taxes, whatever, 1%, because the fire department needs a new ladder truck, and people go, well, you know,
there might be
a fire, and they say, or you say like you're, and I'm speaking in very broad strokes. But, you know, you say, like, well, we're going to increase your taxes X percent.
Oh, this is a huge macroeconomics thing.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, but if you say, like, well, you know, we have to increase the taxes or whatever because we want to pay the cops more, people will piss and moan about it, but they'll be like, all right.
In the end, they like the fact that the cop car goes up and down their street.
Right, and that someone will put out their house if it's on fire. But for EMS, if you say we have to increase taxes because you need an ambulance, they'll go, do we?
I don't need an ambulance.
Right.
I never called 911.
Until you do. Right,
that's
like Kevin mentioned this a few episodes ago, and it was a Mike Tyson quote, and I picked up on it later.
Oh, good, I'm glad you got that.
Where it's like everyone's got a plan until they're punched in the face.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, it's that kind of thing. We're like, well, no, you know what? It's not something that we need to. I don't need to worry about that because that's not a problem I'm going to have.
Well, that's a societal thing. We as a society in the United States have to recognize EMS as a profession that we need.
We need to recognize EMS as a value.
And it
has
a value.
We don't place value on EMS like we do for fire and property.
But
we do. Or police and law.
But wait a minute. We do a horrendous, and I'm saying this to EMS professionals all over the United States, we do
in
an
the world. Let's be fair.
No,
we're not just,
no,
I mean,
not in the world, because there's other places that do a better job. Yes,
Canada.
I think Canada does a better job promoting their services. The NHS does a better job promoting their services. Australia, France, Germany. We are the ones that literally we have done an absolute horrendous job as professionals telling people what we do, who we are, and where, when you need us, and when you know what we can do. Mm-hmm. We're awful at it. Nobody knows. My mother doesn't know what I do.
I mean, have you told her what
I have? But
talking to her, Dan.
Oh, you're a paramedic. Okay, so is that like an EMT? Well, yes, sure it is. Yes, I mean she gets it now, but she didn't know.
Yeah, I know people that I've worked because so
I still have relatives. Oh, you're still doing the EMT thing?
Sure. I put that. But like we have people whose parents and grandparents insist that they're security guards, like just because of the uniform, And it's just like, well, that's. But again, it gets down to a professional thing. Like, you want to look professional.
But first and foremost, like going to Kevin, like I said, we do first and foremost as a profession, we do a horrible job promoting our services. We literally do not tell anybody what we do. And how we do it and why we do what we do. We don't recruit people into the profession by saying, hey, how would you like to help people?
Yeah, I think that's
how would
true.
You like to make somebody's worst day of their life a little bit better? Instead of saying you're going to go on emergencies, you're going to save lives. Because what? There's four of us sitting around the table right now, and I can probably say, granted, we probably, as a total, have truly saved less than 20 lives in our careers.
I think that's probably fair. It might be a low ball, but I think
we
it's
don't
fair.
Save lives. That's a rare so, event. But this is what we do is we help people.
Right. So, but my variable on that is I worry that saying like, "How would you like to help someone in their time of crisis?" over romanticizes the industry to the opposite end of, "Do you boys like trauma? You like all this stuff?" Like, we have the one end that we don't want to be involved in. And then we have, how would you love to help someone on the worst day of their life? Like, that's, I feel like, and I'm not saying that it's wrong.
But maybe that's the people we want.
I mean, maybe. I think that's the point of the discussion.
We need all types, but we do need a significantly bigger percentage of the people that want to help people.
Sure, absolutely. Which, again, it gets down to recruitment, high school, colleges, and things
like
that.
We always need somebody that's going to go out there and, fly in a helicopter or hang from a rope or, over a gorge rescuing people or, being in a stack with a tactical team going through the door of a hostage situation. But we don't need, that's not the baseline. The baseline is, are you a caring person? Do you want to help your fellow man? Do you want to do good things for people?
So it's aptitude.
We don't recruit that at all. And then aptitude.
It's an emotional aptitude too. Like
you have an emotional aptitude for the job.
So I had one of my other partners just got finished with the State Trooper Academy, and her application process was a year long.
Oh yeah.
And she went through physical agility, psychological aptitude, and then.
On community service too. Basically. She had to be involved with.
She had to be
everybody.
Involved like, with community service on like several different levels.
Right.
So there, and that's the thing is that there's never been a time in this state, at least, where no one knew what a trooper was or what they did.
No. Yeah, and I think that's a good way to approach it. But like going back to, to advertising and finding the right people, we have an avenue for it that is kind of misused. Every year we have EMS Week, where the idea. Is to promote.
Oh, yeah.
The idea is to.
Get the best Band-Aids.
They're so good.
I am not a fan of this thing.
So, but the whole point of EMS Week is to promote the growth of EMS, right? And it's supposed to be in line with National Night Out for the police, or there's in cities around us they have coffee with a cop.
Prevention Week.
Right, and Fire Prevention Week, right? When the fire service has Fire Prevention Week, they go around and they talk to schools. And they go into elementary schools in their turnout gear, and you have kids like, there's a firefighter. They look like a spaceman. That's really cool.
Sure.
And, then they're like, fires are bad. Stop, drop, and roll. Which, incidentally, I've spent a lot of time learning about how to stop, drop, and roll, and it's not information I've ever had to use once in my life. But, it's but like I'm aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it drew people into Fire Prevention Week. At no point in any of my schooling as a kid, I knew about paramedics because my father was a paramedic. You know, like I was aware that there were ambulances, but I knew nothing else about that. So sure. We have an avenue with EMS Week to promote that, but we don't. Instead, what we do is we show up to work. Sometimes we get a sandwich, and maybe you'll get like a bag.
Depends on what day of the week you come into work.
Gotta be Monday first thing.
You gotta be a Monday person.
I'm shouting out all my night shifters. I'm just saying. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, is this 3-day-old cake?
Yay.
Finally.
Warm soda. Hooray.
And then it's EMS Week, you know, has become like the... I'm going to get criticized for this. It's the EMS version of trick or treat. We go around to each facility. We hold out our hand.
Give me that candy.
What freebie slash candy slash bottle opener, stethoscope holder,
right.
Flashlight, tchotchke that we...
Yo, where'd you get a stethoscope holder
that we
from?
Don't want. That doesn't matter. We don't want it.
But also,
and then we leave invariably grumbling that they didn't have the stuff
right.
that the other
and
place
that's the thing.
Had.
We get, but then we get mad that they don't have trinkets for us, or you know, well,
sure.
this hospital didn't have a 6-foot subs, and who cares? Oh. And like, but
right.
but then what ends up happening is, so the first thing is, you know, you'll have EMS Week stuff, and it's supposed to be in a crew room, but if you have like a vestibule as you enter the hospital, that's usually where it gets set up, and you have patients. Who will come in and they'll say, "Happy EMS Week! Here's your chocolate cake," which does not, to my mind, send a positive image to the patients coming out or going into the hospital.
Right.
And then if your hospital is laid out where there's like a hallway, then they all see you know you congregate around the cake, but like what did you do?
Nothing.
You know, and we could be using that time to actually sit and be like, "Here's why you should go into EMS."
And we should use that as a recruiting week, as a place to teach BCON to people, to teach CPR to lay people, to educate our world about the mission of our service.
Sure. And I don't even have a problem with using it. Like, if you say, like, you should go into EMS, like, do you have any interest in going into medicine of any kind? Do you want to be a nurse, a doctor, a vet? Do you want to be, like, anything? Go to EMT school.
Sure.
Because those are the people that you want to get in there. And like then,
and
you know,
you'll get people go, well, that's not good for retention for the profession. Yeah,
but
you're
that's
right.
Debatable.
But
retention
you know what? It
sucks already.
Right. We're already. Yeah. Exactly. It sucks already.
It can't get worse.
Yeah. Go ahead. So it's. But again,
tell us how you really.
Oh no! Listen.
There he goes.
Rage face has been engaged, people.
I'm ready for it. Strap in.
Go.
Go.
Listen, I 100% agree that EMS Week should be used as a recruiting tool. We should be getting into schools. We should be dressed up to the nines and whatever you know gear we're going to be doing. We should be teaching CPR during this
to
week.
To everyone.
Everyone. This should be get all the kids together in the auditorium, get a demonstration, teach individual classes at PE, whatever.
Play some of that fancy pop music for
all
the
whatever.
Kids.
Get your Spotify cardiac arrest playlist going. Let's do it. So I...
Callback.
You're right. EMS Week is trick or treat. It's gotten to the point where it's complete self-parody. Like, from somebody on the outside looking in, if I weren't, I'd be like, imagine a patient who's sick going down the hall, and then you just have some EMTs or paramedics who are just sitting there shoving cake in their mouth because, you know, this is their 5 minutes between their seventh job of the night. And you're sick, and you're rolling down the hall, and like, what? It's confusing, for one, especially certain hallways in certain hospitals. And then, like Dan said, we go around getting mad that we didn't get a good enough thing. They didn't thank us for our service enough.
Right, yeah.
And...
Kevin's got to meditate. Hold on.
But to get into the thank you for your service thing, like that, at least like I can speak anecdotally, you know, amongst our group of like, thank you for your service has become a joke.
It's a joke.
That's a parody.
We say it to each other now to laugh at it because it doesn't mean anything anymore because we, even if we are genuinely thanked for what we do, we shrug it off. We don't take compliments where we should. Yeah. And instead we march out like... You know what? If you did your job, you don't need a thank you is always appreciated. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But we do a job that if a police officer did what we do, a firefighter did what we do, they'd be in the front paper. They'd be getting accolades, being called, you know, that H word I hate, hero.
Mm-hmm.
We do it. We're just doing our job. And I don't know if Anna, if you ever heard me say this before, I equate us to NFL kickers. Mm-hmm. Nobody notices what we do till we fuck up.
Yep.
We are thought to be automatic. We show up. We kick that extra point. You miss it. That dude is getting death threats in the mail.
Right.
I'm going to take it from another angle.
Do it.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that the kicker mentality hurts us too.
I agree.
Because, you know, kickers are awesome, man.
Go play soccer.
Laces
Kevin up. Kevin's just sad because a kicker missed a field goal in Super Bowl 52 and the Philadelphia Eagles won and now they're Super Bowl champions. Oh, so he's very upset about this.
I'm not upset. You deserve to, you know, win every once in a while. Call me when you get to
clock is
not,
right.
Oh, so call me when you get to
neither
four.
Neither of you have ownership in interest in either team. Let's pump the brakes.
I have interest in the Eagles.
Here's where I think we can go with this. And the thank you for your service. Thank me for my service. You see it on, like, if you go on Reddit, you go to the EMS thing, the EMS page, or if you go on the internet or social media, you'll see this. And it's kind of this inherently mocking tone because it doesn't really, it's self-aggrandizement. You know, we're really like, oh, look at us, look at us.
But I disagree, though. I think throwing out the thank you for your service thing is actually mocking the people who truly are like, hey, look what I did.
Right. It's self-aggrandizing.
But like not, you know.
Why am I having trouble with that?
Like mocking people who, you know, oversell the industry, I'm not sure how constructive it is. But I do think that it's at least a little bit positive because it's like, all right, we're trying to get away from, you know, thinking that we're greater than we are.
How about we call ourselves quiet professionals? Like Special Forces does, and like this, you know, like the special missions units in the armed forces, where we don't seek accolades. That's the thing we should actually, right. This is where we can turn this around, is what if we took that and made that what we believe in? We're paramedics. We're EMS. We're the quiet professionals. You're not going to hear about what we do.
I have a crazy because idea what how we get there.
Because what we do is so important and so private and so intimate that we don't share that. We don't look for the accolades because that's doing our job is the accolade.
All right, Dan, this is a crazy idea, and run with me with this. You want to be a quiet professional? Let's take the lights and sirens off the ambulance.
Hey-o.
Take away the adrenaline rush. Take away the people who do it for the blood, guts, and glory. And you'll attract people who are here because they want to be, not because it's exciting in that moment.
So
I wouldn't be 100% against that. But again, you do need a little of that. It's the seasoning. It shouldn't be the flower of it. It should be the seasoning.
I don't necessarily disagree that we should be quiet professionals. I do think that it's more difficult when, you know, you see our comparison is always going to be to police and fire. And it's not coming down on police and fire, but, you know, if there's a traffic stop on a side road, it's in the newspaper. You know, there's a running gag on television where, like, a firefighter saved a kitten out of a tree. You know, well, you don't see that for EMS. To the point where you'll see stories that involve EMS. Like, and, you know, I'm being anecdotal, but, you know, like, a story will be like, well, a person was resuscitated and, you know, they got to the hospital safe. Like, and we read it and we're like, oh, well, the medics clearly did all that stuff and, you know, EMS helped. But it'll be like, Officer Dave Jones came in and heroically applied an AED and the patient was resuscitated and was awake on the arrival to the hospital. And we read it and we're like, is that, that's not how that happened.
I don't care. Like, that doesn't bother me in the least.
I'm using it as a symptom of the problem. That story doesn't bother me. What does bother me is that we want to be like on the quiet side, right? We want like our job is our job. Fine. But we're going up against this impossible opponent where we're always going to be the third tier service because of things like that.
We might be. And you know
but that,
what?
But how do we grow as a profession? How do you grow that if we're always going to be that? If the cell is always going to be, don't go into EMS, go into police, go into fire.
No, because Ed, you got to play the long game. We're 50 years old.
Sure,
these
but
other,
you have to, but
these
you have
other
start
services
somewhere. I mean,
are hundreds of years old.
Right.
They've got a culture. They've got generations of families in that service.
But we're getting to the point in EMS now where we have generations of service in the field. I know I'm a second generation in the service.
Two.
But plural is two.
If you go
we have generations
go to,
in
go
here.
Go to Boston, go to New York City, go to the fire departments. There are five generations.
Sure, but like, but you can go to Miami in the United States and you can see people who are, you know, third, fourth generation medics now. You know, it's as an industry, it's something that if we don't, but here's the thing, Dan, if we don't start doing it now, it's not something that's ever going to happen. And that's my worry, is that it's easy to say, like, yes, the cops have been around forever. So police has existed since Rome, right? But we don't have people who...
So what
we
is...
We don't have people entering
so what is,
the police force
okay,
because
so,
their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather
okay. so what is the
was in Rome.
What has our current strategy gotten us?
Nothing. That's why we're doing this episode.
So we have to change it. So yeah. Let's change it radically. Let's do this. Let's say, hey, you know what? First and foremost, we're going to commit to public education.
Sure.
We're going to do what police and law enforcement did, or law enforcement and fire did, and we're going to commit to public education.
Right.
BCON and CPR training are going to be the hallmarks of what our profession does.
Sure.
Just like stop, drop, and roll. Just like, you know, lock your doors, whatever. At the same time, we're going to not see, you know, we're going to say that to people. When we educate them, no, you probably won't hear a lot about what we do.
Right. Well, so
is what we do, and this is what's right. important. We take care of you at your worst moments. We take care of you when you're sick, when you're injured. We're the person who's next to you in that car as they're being cut out, telling right. you it's going to be okay. We're those people.
And to kind of take that and run with it.
We do something unique that nobody else can do.
Right.
I can put a needle in you. Once we start doing that, we can start.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Dead in his tracks.
I just.
But after that,
then we can start recruiting people with that emotional aptitude right. and say, hey, you might want to be one of us.
So, and for emotional aptitude, and even for public education, you know, we're very active on social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, if you guys are interested in following.
Shameless.
But please follow. Please.
I know, all day. So, but here's the thing. One of the things that, you know, I think we see a lot of providers comment on, you know, like things that we see on YouTube, like challenge videos, where we'll have EMTs be like, well, you know, like there's, and listen, I don't think that the, what was the one, the burn, people are burning themselves now?
Oh, the boiling water challenge. This is...
Like, I don't think it's a great idea to dump boiling water on yourself, no. But I'm not going to comment on a thread and be like, this is job security.
Oh, that's a great example of something. Just our own, because like you said, we all have social media, and we've talked about this with our social media episode. Who you present yourself on social media represents a profession. And because there's pictures of you doing your job, in your uniform, you talk about it because, let's face it, everyone in EMS, we all live and breathe it. Like, it's really right. hard not to be a part of it all day, every day. And we got to do a better just as individuals representing ourselves in our profession.
So just a little background, you know, there was a thread that we were able to kind of see as we were reading through it. And, you know, this was about a story about a 14-year-old kid who did the boiling water challenge, where I guess they dumped boiling water over his head or.
Yeah, he willingly
He was burned pretty seriously. He's going to be okay, which is good. But. You know, what struck us was, you know, some of the comments by people on the news and some of the comments by people who are in the profession, like, you know, there was a real cynical edge to that. Like, you know, look, he's a 14-year-old kid. He made a mistake. You know, 14-year-old kids are not the smartest things on the earth. That's why we don't give them, you know, stock options.
That's why you can't drive a car yet.
That's why you can't drive a car at 14. That's why you can't, you know... Well, you can, but it's not a good idea. It's not recommended. Right. Kids make mistakes, and you know, that cynicism, you see this, you know, go on any Facebook page or go on any social media page where there's EMS professionals congregating, and the cynicism and just the, oh, job security or, oh, another stupid person or whatever. Right. Hey, look, you know, we're in a job basically because people make bad decisions on a consistent basis, whether they do it acutely or they do it chronically. You know, if you smoke 3 packs a day since you were, you know, a teenager, in your 60s, you're going to have some issues.
Right. And it's, but that's never looked at because
is that any less of a dumb decision as the kid who was trying to do a trick on on top of a car and fell off the car?
I think it's the acuteness of the event that actually gets people to look at it. I think that's kind of the part of it.
Well, you know what Forrest Gump would say?
What would Forrest Gump say?
Stupid is a stupid does.
Wow. Look at that.
Ooh. I just watched it yesterday. It was like,
It's
still fresh in my mind. Availability heuristic.
And the point is, people make bad decisions.
Sure.
We are there to help people when they make their bad decisions, whether they've made it chronically over a period of 30, 40 years, or you're a 15-year-old kid or a 16-year-old kid, and I have 2 teenagers, so I intimately understand the decision-making process. You know, these things happen. And when we show no empathy, I think we hurt the profession too.
Well, 100%. The other thing, what it comes down to, I think, big picture, is a lot of times, and you talked about this earlier, Dan, is we forget that it's a service industry. You know, it's what right. what we're doing.
Biggie, medium size M.
Little S.
Tiny S, so small you can see it on right. the side of the truck.
But like, so this is what it comes down to. Like in the end, like what we do, our job is not terribly hard. Right? There's like there's a lot of training, a lot of education, but in the end, it's not terribly hard.
No.
Yes? No. Right?
No, it's not.
So but it just comes down to service, right? We have things that are available to make people's day better, which, you know, sounds very like, you know, kind of crunchy and kumbaya and whatever, but like I think that's the reality of it, is that you have things that are available to fix someone or to fix their day. And we add all of these problems and all these layers because we decide like we're an industry that decides like you don't need my help.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no other industry that does that. We're like, you're not sick enough for me.
Which yeah, is the like, firefighters don't do that.
Right. This fire isn't hot enough for us to put out.
Oh, yeah. It's only an oven fire. I'm going to go. You can
yeah,
handle
be fine.
This.
You can
yeah,
handle
why didn't you
own.
Use your extinguisher,
let the cop, let the cop the fire extinguisher handle it.
You've got a perfectly good sink right here. Why didn't you put it out with your own water? You know, we say, like, why? How come you didn't take your car to the hospital? Which, and don't get me wrong, there are plenty of instances in which someone should probably, people can take their own, and we can
again,
talk,
an education problem.
Yeah, and we can right. talk. We can talk about alternative transportation and Uber and whatever else. Right.
So how
episode,
much of that but, is our fault?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think, you know, you're taught to call 911 when you have, you know, any kind of emergency. And right. I think people need to be re-educated on what an emergency actually is. As adorable as I think it is when a four-year-old calls 911 for help with their math problem, it's annoying to me that that actually exists.
Correct.
You know, and that's kind of the issue. I think it's a huge picture, like a big picture issue that we actually have to address. There's no way that we're actually going to be able to solve it in one episode. But again, no. Something that we wanted to focus on when we actually started this podcast was to address EMS culture in general. And it's something I think we're going to keep talking about. We don't want this to turn into the same episode over and over and over again. But it
no,
is something that we're
going to
keep,
need to ask
keep
ourselves,
hammering away at.
We need to ask ourselves as a profession, as individual clinicians, you know, hey, what am I doing? What am I representing this profession well?
Right.
And, you know, you can either be a part of the problem or you can be a part of the solution. And I know that there's people out there that are not working in great environments, that maybe sure. don't have support of their management, that may be at odds with certain factors in their job. But you got to ask yourself, is the current strategy working for you? Is being negative helping? Or maybe should we just start looking at, geez, maybe we'll do a positive thing. Maybe right. we'll start looking at it from another angle.
And hopefully doing things like listening to this podcast will help you actually be part of the solution and not part of the problem. We're going to run with this hashtag do better thing because it's something that I think we need to do writ large as an industry and as a profession. So,
Kevin, we're taking this.
It's fine. I'm glad I could contribute something.
We're going to make merch, stickers, hashtag do better. So follow that. We can put that hashtag up on Twitter, actually, the hashtag do better.
Absolutely.
Movement. So that's going to be our episode for today. Again, a discussion that's going to keep going, something a conversation we're excited to have all the time. Make sure to follow us on all the social media. We are at Overrun Productions on Facebook and Instagram, Overrun EMS on Twitter. Be sure to download our podcast, rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and listen to Spotify as well. That's all the socials for that. We don't have Snapchat yet. I don't know if we should probably work on maybe doing like a Snapchat thing, but I don't. No response from that from the room.
I mean, there was a response. It was just kind of like,
she's like,
didn't some famous celebrity who's famous for being famous like disparage Snapchat and its stock plummeted?
Is that really a thing that happens?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not.
It was probably one of those.
I work very hard to not follow
listen,
ladies.
I'm happy for every follower and every listener we have.
Yeah. High five to everybody. Shout out. Also, no, you can email us at overrunproductions@gmail.com if you have any ideas or questions for an episode. So
how do you want to change the culture? What are your suggestions? Like this affects every single one of us.
Let's have a discussion about this.
This is listen. If you don't ever comment on anything else we ever do, this is the most important thing we could talk about because this affects every single one of us. Whether you're EMT, paramedic, flight medic, flight nurse, SCT nurse, right. ER doctor, ER nurse, because we all play for the same team. We're all here for
right.
the same.
We're all part of the continuum of care. It's one big line.
Got to talk about culture.
Right, because that's
what
changes
beautiful.
Things.
That was beautiful. That was a whole list, too.
Let's
really
talk
well
about
done.
Culture. Come on.
come on. Let's feel the
love.
On.
Feel the love. So, yeah. So, get involved in the conversation. As I said, subscribe. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. Let us know how we're doing. For the Overrun Podcast, I'm Ed Bowder.
I'm Dan Schwester.
I'm Kevin Mazza.
I'm Anna Ryan.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Get home safe.